Chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, which we're just going to look at in a minute, and I'm going to try and engage the children in it as well, just for a little while. There is a man called Paul, and Paul was one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived in our history. One of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known, and he loved Jesus very much. He was very passionate about his faith, and in those days, it was very dangerous to be a Christian. Paul was also a very brave man, and Paul was put in prison not because he had done anything wrong, but because many people were against him because they didn't like not only him but many, many others becoming Christians. And while Paul was in prison, because he had a lot of time, he used to pray a lot, he used to listen a lot, particularly to God, and he started writing some letters. And he used to write letters to the churches across the area where he had been responsible for and people that he loved. He also used to write letters to many individuals, and particularly about what God had been speaking to him about. And one of those people that he writes to is a man called Timothy. And Timothy's a very young man, much younger than Paul. And he became a Christian when he was just a teenager. And Paul became rather like a father to him. And so Paul wrote to him, giving him lots of advice on how he should be and how he should live as a Christian, but also how he should be a good church leader and a pastor. And I don't know whether Paul looked like that, but that is how I sort of imagine him to have been. And I'm going to ask John King if he'll just come and read the few verses to us. Now, children, you need to listen, because in this little short story, there are three particular people, types of people, and I may ask you a little bit later who they were. So, all right, John?
Yep. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Likewise, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this.
Thank you very much, John. I'll just move that on from there. Right, so we're just going to take a little moment just to look at these. First of all, Paul tells Timothy to be strong. Paul also uses another word. He says, entrust what I have learned, or he has learned, passing it on to reliable people who will also help others. Now, one thing that Paul was saying, he said, be strong. Now, he wasn't talking about being strong in the physical sense. Now, I would like to say this was me. But actually, it wasn't you. I wonder who it was. Michael Hands, thank you very much indeed. Michael posed for me earlier today and in your dreams. But Paul was not talking about physically being strong. He was talking about being strong inside in his faith. The responsibility of Christians in any age is to guard the truth of God's word, which had been entrusted to him. And that was the apostles' charge from Paul to Timothy. And he says, guard the truth which has been entrusted to you. It was like being given a responsibility. Now, I just want to give somebody a responsibility this morning, because that word entrust means that you give something to someone or you give them some responsibility, believing that they are going to do what you've asked them to do. Now, who would you say is a very trustworthy person this morning as you look around? Children, look around. Who would you think said, no, no, a trustworthy person. Look behind. Could you find someone who's really trustworthy? They're all looking at it. Nobody's trustworthy this morning. Go and give that to somebody that you really trust. Now, you've got to say to them, can you look after this until the end of the meeting? No going out. So you can give it to somebody, you can give it to who you like, but somebody further back, somebody who you think you can trust. Who's she going to give it to? Is that to Hannah Haynes? No? To Phil? That's not bad, is he? He's a young Timothy, so that's brilliant. Now, all this that Paul was writing to Timothy about was taking place about 63 years after Jesus had died. It was in the first century, and of course, we're now in the 21st century, so you can see how long ago it was. And I think the grown-ups, just for them, they just need to understand this morning, there was a lot of distorted values, misleading commitments, confused thinking, many dangerous misconceptions that were going on at this time. And as a result, the whole Roman world was about to explode into violence. And maybe today the same charge or the message comes to us in view of the times that we live in. Guard the truth and stand up for what we believe. Guard the truth and stand up for what we believe, whether we're old or whether we're young. And there's a tremendous responsibility on all of us this morning, particularly if we're a little bit older, to communicate that truth to our children, to our friends, and to our neighbours. And so we now need to listen, children, because we come to the three examples that Paul gives Timothy of what he should be like. Can you remember the three particular types of people that Paul was speaking about? So, anybody towards the sort of back of the room? Anybody remember? Can you remember? A soldier. Well done. There was another one. Anybody? Yes? An athlete? Yes. A hard-working farmer. There was three, wasn't there? There was the soldier, there was the athlete, and the hard-working farmer. There will be prizes for you in just a moment. And so the first one was a good soldier, the second one was an athlete, and the third one was a farmer. Now, just to help us this morning, I was just thinking about a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And maybe there's just three words beginning with D that will just help us to remember. So, a good soldier is dedicated. A good athlete is disciplined. And a good farmer is very diligent, particularly if he wants to have a good crop. So, shall we just think about the soldier at the moment? The soldier has to endure many, many things. He has to be pre-prepared for lots of hardship. Sometimes it means suffering. Sometimes it means being uncomfortable. Maybe doing lots of dangerous things, knowing that he might get hurt, injured, or even lose his life. He may see some very horrible things at times. But he doesn't join the army just to enjoy life, though he may have some great adventures according to all the posters. The other thing is that Paul says about being a good soldier is you have to be very single-minded and focused in what you do. And you can't get involved in lots of other things because you have a special job to do. And the only objective for the Christian soldier should be to follow the Lord Jesus and to obey his commands. And I say the motive of being a good soldier of Jesus is one of love. It's not duty. It's love. It's a conviction that the one that we are following is truly the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, because he's already done so much for us this morning. And there's a verse in the Bible that comes from Revelation. It says, "Unto him who has loved us And it goes on to say, and washed us from all our sins with his blood. And I know that sometimes we sing a hymn, don't we, in church, and sometimes it really goes with a great gusto because we know the words of it are truth. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me? And so the motivation of a Christian soldier is love and obedience. And before I forget, for those of you that... Theo, you were first to choose, weren't you? There we are. There'll be something for you all at the end. There we are. Oh, who got the... Somebody... But, and you were the... Whoop. Well done. Catch. That was good listening, you see. Well done. You can share it with somebody. I can see others dribbling with envy here, but don't worry. It might come your way in a minute. And then we talk about the athlete, don't we? One of my heroes. And the Bible talks about the Christian lifestyle requiring the discipline of an athlete. An athlete is not crowned unless they compete according to the rules. There is a different motivation for the athlete here. The athlete's motivation is not to become second or third or to be on television or be in the papers. The athlete's motivation is to win the race. Every athlete must learn to deny himself certain things if he wants to win. I don't know how many of you older people used to read the Victor comic. The Victor? You used to do. There was a man in there called Alf Tupper. Now, Alf Tupper was an athlete, but he was one of these athletes who always missed the bus. And so he used to run 5 miles to where he was about to run, eat fish and chips, run the race, and always win. And he was something of a hero. But in reality, I don't think that's quite true. I think if most of us had a plate full of fish and chips before we run, it wouldn't stay where it should do for very long. How many of you remember this incredible athlete? I've been up to Alderete, where he goes to train, and you see him running with all the African athletes. And can you imagine if Mo Farah lived on McDonald's, curries, and Chinese every day? No, he disciplines himself to eat certain foods, to train at certain times, to go to bed at certain times, because he wants to win. He can't eat anything particularly that he just desires. And so the athlete wants to win, and that's the point. He wants to be crowned with the award. And that is what the apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy about here. And we don't want to lose out what God has got for us in the reward that he will give us, that's available to us. Most of us would have seen the film The Chariots of Fire, wouldn't we? And it's a story of an athlete who wants to win, but he wants to win with honor. And the film is a moving presentation based on a very true story of a young man who in the early part of the 20th century was an outstanding runner here in England. And it depicts for us so much what Paul is trying to say. A Christian is called to say no to many things. Just as the athlete has to say no to a big McDonald's every day, we as Christians have to say no to certain things if we're going to live the way that God wants us to live. And there are many visual things that attract us, don't they, as Christians today. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to forget about that because that's not going to do me any good. They're called distractions. And so that is the discipline of the athlete. It's being able to say no and being very disciplined in the way that you live your daily lives. And then finally, we got the good old farmer. The apostle says the Christian needs to be diligent like the farmer, the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of his crops. Now, emphasis is here on hard working, and I'm glad that you picked that out. It was hard working Being a Christian is not just floating around, is it? And not just going through life. It's rather working hard. It's being faithful to God as he calls each one of us. It's me and God together. It's working together in cooperation. There is no probably greater calling. And the attitude of some Christians is bless me, bless me, bless me. But actually, sometimes it means digging in and doing some hard work. And being a Christian is tough, but it outweighs everything that God makes available for us. I actually worked on a farm when I left school. I did some O-levels. You call them GCSEs these days, but they were O-levels in my days. And I went and worked on a farm for 2 years, and I milked cows. Now, for me, it was hard work, often getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, working sometimes till 8 or 9 during the harvest time. But like a farmer, I had to get up early, and sometimes it meant going to bed late, but it also meant working very hard during the day. And Paul always sets us up that life today is not the end of the story. If you read through his various letters, he talks about a day beyond the grave. And I'm just trying to cut some time here quickly. At times it will be hard. It will be hard. In a minute, I'm going to show you a DVD thing for just a couple of minutes. Many of you will recognize it. And but right at the end of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says this. Run the race with perseverance. Run the race with perseverance. That means working hard. And secondly, in the book of Corinthians, it says, run in such a way that you win the prize. The clip that we're going to see goes back to the Olympic Games, I think it's in Barcelona, in, would it be 1992? I can't remember. But this is of Derek Redman, who potentially could win a gold medal. And some of you may feel the way that Derek Redman finished the race. And maybe that would speak to you this morning more than anything that I've said this morning, because there is a Heavenly Father who wants to come alongside us, even though we're struggling to finish the race that he's called us to lead. And let us just enjoy what's coming on here.
Strong when I am When I am on your shoulders, you raise me up to more than I can be.
Then about you, it always brings a tear to the eye, because it just speaks of the Father God coming alongside us when we're struggling. But also we can be that representative of God this morning. We can come alongside people this morning that are struggling in the race, struggling to finish, limping along, wondering whether they're going to succeed or not. And whoever you are this morning, God wants to come alongside you as a father, because he wants you to succeed. He wants you to finish the race. And wherever you feel you've blown it this morning, whatever you're struggling with, and I know there are people here who are carrying many, many things, pain, grief, struggles, but God wants to come alongside you this morning and carry you so that you can finish that race in a way that he wants you to finish it this morning. And as we close this morning, and I was going to say some other things, but I think I'm just going to leave it there, because as we close this morning, we want to just close by remembering what God has done for us, because that's how the Father can come alongside us, because Jesus has been the one that's made a way for us this morning. And so if I can just ask 8 people, if they can just come forward, and we're just going to break bread together, and they're going to bring it to you, and they're just going to bless you as they do that. And Father, we want to say thank you this morning that this table represents everything that Jesus has done for us. Father, you tell us to do it on a regular basis, to remember the incredible love that you poured out for each one of us. And Father, wherever we are on life's journeys this morning, if we're struggling, Father, as we take this bread and wine, it can almost remind us that there is a heavenly Father who wants to come alongside us and put his arm around us and to help us, Lord, even if we feel that we're limping at this moment in time, because he loves us so much. Father, we say thank you for everything that Jesus has provided for us this morning. In your name, we worship you, we praise you, we lift up your name. Amen.